Welcome back, everyone. Here we are.
Fuck that. I want to address the elephant in the room while I'm wearing sunglasses.
Oh, God.
Hay fever is killing me, you know, so bad that literally my left eye looks like I got pink eye. So.
Don't lie, you got black eye. That's what it is.
And a few, daddy. Anyway, welcome back to Vox, Vox, Vox.
Here we are. We don't really have a mad, interesting topic.
Don, what are you wearing?
Dive in. Aston Martin. In fact, while we're on the topic of Aston Martin, before we dive in and talk about what we're going to talk about, saw a meme.
Go on.
Is it a meme or is it, I don't know what it is, but it was, imagine this basically, with on. Aston Martin, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc.
Beast mode.
I think.
Beast mode, mate.
2026, if that was a thing, that'd be. I don't think it's going to happen.
That would be the lineup, mate.
But yeah, so also, what are we talking about? Oh, go on.
I want to address how bad the audio was last week. Full disclosure, just one of the mic preamps just decided to kill itself, and it was one on Dom's and just decided to go full send.
It was unfortunate, but we still put it out. We'd rather put something out than miss a week.
Yeah, I mean, this week almost missed a week again.
I was going to say, I was so tempted to call you and be like, let's just have a gap week.
I won't even re-air, just have a gap week. I'll put like a voice note and be like, guys, gap week, safe, see you next week.
Maybe not this week, but next week we should record a gap week episode. Filler. Just something to put up.
Anyway, I digress.
What are we talking about, Sam?
We are talking this week. this week on Box. The Canadian Grand Prix preview.
Yes.
Current driver construction standings update. Key battle storyline. Headlining. Sorry, you know.
No, shall I do this?
You know, let's fuck this. I'll fuck that up. You know, I'm just going to expose my pink eye. No, you know, it ain't even that bad. That light's just so fucking bright. It's hurting my eyes.
All right, we're ditching the shades.
Yeah.
I only put mine on so Sam didn't feel.
If they go back on, it's because genuine my eye is on fire.
Well, there we go. So Sam touched on the Canadian Grand Prix. The preview, current driver and construction. We are terrible this week.
Do you know what I've noticed? The last couple of weeks have gone really smoothly. The weeks that I've wrote.
Well, it's thrown shade. It's written out. We just can't talk, evidently.
Apparently not.
We are going to talk about. Sorry, my bad. The track characteristics and strategies to watch out for this weekend, as well as we're not gonna make them again. We're not doubling or nothing.
No, absolutely fucking not.
But we're gonna touch on our previous predictions. I don't know why I wrote banter. I think there was a point, but I didn't go with it in the end. But anyway, so before we get started, well and truly, we can just talk about the upcoming Canadian Grand Prix, and then we're going to go through the Constructors Drivers Championship like we did last week, and it hasn't changed, but we need some filler. So the iconic Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Montreal is back on the calendar this weekend for the 2025 Canadian Grand Prix, known for its mix of long straights, tight chicanes, and the infamous Wall of Champions. This race is a high stakes test of driver precision and team strategy. Weather unpredictability, very similar to Spa, with possible rain, always adds to the drama here. So we have obviously McLaren leading the championship, and they're obviously going to continue their strong form after the dominant Spanish and Monaco showings. Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris will aim to extend their lead over Max Verstappen and the rest of the pack. I'm sure we're going to dive into Max Verstappen in a minute.
I also want to do a clarification station.
Go on.
Of something that a statement that I said last week, didn't even realise, and Jack at Formula One pointed this out to me.
Go on. I love it when people correct us, though. I'm not going to.
Oh, no, same. 100%. I was under the impression that Kimi Antonelli went from Formula 4 to Formula 1 because that's what the seat instigates.
Mm.
Kimi Antonelli actually went from Formula 2 to Formula 1.
Oh, so he did Formula 2.
Yeah, so he did do Formula 2. So the jump was.
He didn't like win like the championship though or anything, did he?
Not answering that without research.
Because I know.
He was racing with Behrman.
Did he do one season in Formula 2? I know.
But I just wanted to get that clarification station in.
That's good. I think, obviously.
All about context, yeah.
So Gabriel Bortoleto won Formula 2 last year. So he's the Formula 2 champion, as things currently stand. But yeah, I know Isaac Ajar was very close as well. So, but I, to be honest, mate, I wasn't even aware that he was in Formula 2.
Yeah, same. I thought he went straight from Formula 4, but yeah, he went from Formula 2 to Formula 1. So yeah, there's that clarification.
The more you know.
The clarification. But anyway, continuing on, let's go through sort of where the driver standings are.
Should we rock, paper, scissors? Winner gets odd. The order will do it.
Are we doing rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Yeah. Ready?
Are you ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I win. I take the odds. So
I've just realised I showed a bluff then of what I was going to throw.
I didn't even pay attention. I just I love scissoring. So
just fuck off.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Just fuck off. Scissor me timbers.
Scissor me timber. Oh, we love a South Park reference.
So scissor me timbers.
Without further delay, let's go through the current Drivers' Championship. So, first on the table with 186 points is Oscar Piastri.
Then it's Lando Norris with 176 points.
Third, Max Verstappen with 137 points.
Then George Russell, Mr. Safe, with 111 points, 111.
Fifth place, we have Charles Leclerc with 94 points.
Then we have Lewis Hamilton with 71 points.
Seventh with 48 points is Kimi Antonelli.
Bingo.
What?
Sorry, you just saying numbers. I got excited.
Oh, okay.
Then eighth, you have Alexander Albon with 42 points.
In ninth position with 21 points is Isaac Ajar.
10th, we have with 20 points is Esteban Ocon. I clocked out then for a sec.
It's all right. Nico Hülkenberg in 11th with 16 points.
Securing all the points for Kicksaber this year.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
In 12th, amazingly in the points, is Lance Stroll with 14 points.
Don't diss Stroll. To be fair, whenever we throw shade at Stroll, he does well.
Yeah, so that's when we've got to keep throwing shade at him.
And it's the Canadian Grand Prix, isn't it? So Stroll is fucking shit. He's doing so bad this season. I'd be surprised if he wins another race.
Bro, you know what? I put $5,000 if he even gets into the top 10.
What, in Canada?
Yeah.
For legal reasons, he's joking. But you never know. Anyway, 13th place is Carlos Sainz with 12 points.
14th place is a driver who's caused controversy on the first episode of this, is Yuki Tsunoda.
In 15th place is the one and only Pierre Gasly!
On a much more calm tone.
With a total of 7 points.
With 6 points is Ollie Bearman.
Liam Lawson takes 17th with 4 points.
With the remaining drivers of this, first lead up with 0 points is Fernando Alonso.
Then Gabriel Bortoletto.
Then Jack Doohan.
And last but not least, Franco Colapinto. Have you noticed the massive resurgence in like Argentinian fans in F1 now that he's back again?
I wonder why.
So,
are we going to do the constructors?
Yeah, we. I feel like we're going to dive through the constructors here.
Rock, paper, scissors.
You ready?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, you bastard.
Right, go on then, you I've double or nothing done that.
Go on then.
You thought I was going to hit you with some scissors, me timber.
Yeah.
Right.
Go on.
First off, with 362 points is McLaren.
Second place with 165 points is Ferrari.
Ferrari. Third is the Germans. Also in Brackley. But Mercedes with 159 points.
I was waiting. I knew you were going to make a point about it. Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. Red Bull Racing takes fourth spot with 144 points.
Then an absolutely crazy jump down is fifth, Williams with 54 points, which fair fucks to Williams.
I mean, they're doing really well considering last season. So, sixth place, Racing Bulls with 28 points.
Then seventh is Haas with 26 points.
Eighth place with a total of 16 points.
Secured by one driver.
Yeah. Joint eighth, I suppose.
Eighth and ninth are joints.
Yeah. Is Kicksaber with Aston Martin following shortly behind.
And leading up the back of the pack is Alpine with 11 points.
So that means every team
is in the points.
Is in the points, which is
rare, but you know, it's great to see.
It's good to see. It gives us good things to talk about.
But obviously, I think the first thing and it's sort of been the massive talking point of the whole season so far, is the absolute domination though between Piastri and Norris.
Yes. So as a few people may recall, if you were following us back in December, I think that's when we started, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Big brainwave boy over here said, watch Piastri, watch out for him.
I will say, looking at it retrospectively, looking at Piastri now and looking at like the end of last year, he really was showing that he was ready to go. But
it was, yeah, I was ready for it.
And I look back now retrospectively with that knowledge. And then, I know that's like hindsight's 20/20. But looking back, sorry, there is a package in my front garden apparently. How interesting. Yeah, I mean, looking back now with the hindsight of Piastri, that he's a dominant force.
He really, 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 really is. And that's the thing where I think a lot of people slept on him, especially when he did that Renault. Was it Renault?
Oh, sorry. That was my mum just saying hello to me dog. So my package is my mum just saying hello to my dog.
So Renault, the jump that he did from Renault, the controversial jump from Renault to McLaren, I think even then it was like, ooh. So yeah, I don't know. I like Piastri.
Yeah.
I've always kind of been like, you know what? He could be that guy.
I think the biggest interest, probably the biggest thing at the moment, especially at McLaren, is who is number one. I know McLaren said they're not a team who has number one drivers. But on the flip side, it's also like there's
I think coming out of last season, it was like Lando. And they're kind of backpedaling a bit and being like, maybe not.
But I also think, you know, the pressure on the drivers must be absolutely ludicrous, mate. Like,
what is it? There's only 10 points between them. So,
mate, it's a race. It's a race of whoever's.
Well, that's it. I think I have made some notes in regards to what I'm about to touch on with this topic, but it's one of those things where it could be either driver's race.
Oh, really? Good season. It still could be either driver's season.
There's only one DNF between one of them taking the lead. So it's still, although I've been banging on pretty much all season, being like, Piastri.
It could be Lando's season.
It's only one mistake that Piastri needs to make. And in all fairness, he's made some silly mistakes so far this season. He's been able to rectify them very quickly and efficiently. But yeah, I think that's where the two drivers kind of stand out against each other, is that if Norris kind of makes a mistake or especially early on in the race, that's his mentality ruined for the entire race. Whereas if Piastri makes a mistake, he just goes, I've made a mistake. Oh no, that's a shame. Anyway, yeah, let's carry on.
Let's the next race.
So, so what I wrote here for this Piastri versus Norris thing is the McLaren teammates are in a fierce battle, with Piastri holding a slim championship lead. Both drivers are on a hot streak, but Norris has unfinished business in Montreal after past misfortunes. How they handle their rivalry on track and in the garage will be one of the weekend's biggest storylines. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they do seem to drive well as a team.
They work well together.
They do really work well together. It does seem to be like there's absolute respect between the pair of them on whoever's winning.
They both know who's good. Well, they both know that they're both good.
They both know they're both good, but it's also, from what I see off track, it's both like, yeah, you drove amazing. You drove better than me today.
They're good for each other. Well, yeah,
and that's... But it sounds bad, though, but it's like... I feel with Norris, a lot of things he learned about being a better sportsman was when he was paired up with Sainz.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it was a good relationship between the two of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, so. I mean, obviously, fucking...
I suppose, Danny?
And Danny Rick, yeah. I mean, please bring back Danny Rick. Well, speaking about a less lodge driver, obviously we spoke in depth in last week's episode, but obviously Dom's mic sounded like an airport announcer.
Yeah. Well, I think that is the perfect segue to jump on to the person who stands third in the Drivers' Championship.
And still could pull it back.
Definitely.
I think he's a sausage, but I still think he could fucking pull it back, and it kills me to think like that.
So the big news at the moment, or the big talking points for everyone and the storylines and all that malarkey, is Verstappen potentially having a race ban. Nothing's been confirmed as far as I'm aware just yet. And there isn't actually any confirmation of a serious inquiry into that. other than, I think, Formula One fans all over the globe, even Verstappen fans being like, yeah, he deserves to be penalised harsher than what he has. But So I'll read this short bit out and then we can discuss more on it. But Max Verstappen currently has 11 penalty points on his FIA licence. One more infraction and he faces a race ban, putting Red Bull in a tough spot. The pressure is mounting on Verstappen to deliver a clean yet aggressive race without mistakes. So, yeah, it's... I feel like he deserves a ban for the incident that he had with Russell.
Absolutely, Matt. And the run-up with before with Leclerc as well.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
It was aggressive.
It was aggressive. I understand that there's parts of it that are racing, but there's also parts where I'm like, it's being unsportsmanlike. And
100%.
And that's the difference. That's the big difference. It's going... Is that a difference from being, as we say, being a good person, being a good representation, and of the sport as well? Like...
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, mate.
Like, and... I mean, obviously, mate, like, there's the whole friggin' Ben Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, the president of the FIA.
Yeah. Like, obviously, he's horrifically hated by everyone in the sport, but I feel he needs to actually lead.
He needs to kind of set an example.
Yeah, Verstappen needs to be used as the example. Well,
he gets away with everything, generally speaking, or at least he did definitely last season. I feel like now is the time to show him that, you know, you let things go his way, but you can't let things go unpunished in serious incidents like he had with Russell.
Yeah, I mean, then that could have been a multi-car pile-up.
Multi-car pile-up could have seriously injured
or multiple people from
multiple people.
And for me, Verstappen also needs, sounds bad, anger management control, because that's clearly...
I get heat at the moment.
But we all get heat at the moment. I get that. But it's also one of them ones where, like, you can't react like that. That's not you're on the fastest motorsport on the planet.
Yeah.
You're at the top of your game. I understand that there's the pressure, but there's also the need to actually...
There's no need for him to have reacted the way that he did with Russell.
Absolutely not, mate. Absolutely fucking not.
While we're on the topic of George Russell also, I think that brings us on to talking a little bit about the middle of the pack with the drivers standings currently. So George Russell, Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton are locked in a tight midfield fight, all pushing hard to close the gap to the front runners. Russell's consistency and Leclerc's pace mean this battle could decide who challenges McLaren and Red Bull later on in the season.
Well, yeah.
I
mean, I think it's one of those ones where, say, for example, Lewis Hamilton, this sounds unlikely, and, you know, I'm a massive Lewis fan, but Lewis could take the frigging the podium and win.
Lewis, I think, I haven't written Lewis off for the season yet. He could snag third in the driver's standings.
No, but hear me out, right? Say, for example, he could win at Canada this weekend, right? Hypothetically speaking, looking at the points.
Yeah.
Right, and that would put him 1 point ahead of... No, 2 points ahead of Charles.
If Charles didn't get any points, that is.
Yes.
That's what you got to factor in.
Yes.
Charles
could finish 11th.
Yeah.
Or Charles could just hypothetically...
It wouldn't be unheard of for any of the Ferraris to finish...
No, that's what I mean. One could finish out of the points and one could fucking win.
Yeah, it's literally... That's Ferrari, really, isn't
it? It's like, was it Mick Hakkinen who was with Ferrari?
He was with Ferrari at one point.
Wasn't he Shuey's teammate at one point?
Maybe. Fake fans.
I'm just going to double check that, because I swear to God that happened, that Ferrari where, like, Schumacher won.
Well, that's the thing, Ferrari's...
I don't want Uber Eats!
Ferrari do have a tendency to sometimes finish in that instance where one is top of points and one is completely out of it. I mean, all it takes really is DNF.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, I mean, realistically, it could be an instance with Ferrari, for example.
It wasn't Mick Hakkinen, it was Rubens Barrichello, and I can't believe I forgot that, because they were like iconic teammates. But that would happen at Ferrari in those days.
Yeah. Well, this is what I mean. All it takes is for example, going on what you're saying with Hamilton winning the race and Leclerc ending up outside the points is...
Yeah.
I can think of like two hypothetical examples here where if Leclerc makes a serious mistake or has an issue, say, in qualifying with his gearbox and has to replace his gearbox before the race, he will then, I think, start in the pits, or at least last anyway.
Yeah.
And does he have the power to come back from that? But also, it could be a safety car strategy. It could be Ferrari and their infamous strategies. It could be in the points.
Speaking about gearbox as well, we could have Verstappen DNF this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
No, all jokes aside, but he could actually.
I hope so. So that he gets an unofficial punishment for what happened week before last.
Sorry, I'm fucking dying tonight, mate.
At Barcelona, I really do feel like...
No, but I'm on about, obviously, the last two races, he's been having serious gearbox issues.
Yes, he loves chatting about how his car feels like...
The 1978 or 79 friggin' for F1 car. But yeah, I mean, that midfield, it could be... It's still anyone's at the minute. I mean, we're, what, halfway to the season now?
Not even. I don't even think
I think that. We are actually halfway to the season now.
We can't be.
I'm getting the Formula One.
What round are we hitting? We're about to, you have a look. But while you look at that, we've touched on Hamilton and Leclerc, but not Russell in regards to the midfield madness. But I think I always make the joke about Russell being ending a race by.
We are we're on race 10 of 24, so we're nearly halfway.
Nearly halfway, yeah. So, yeah, I always joke about Russell doing nothing and ending up either on the podium or very close. So, I really want Russell to do something spectacular this race. I don't know what. Yeah. Even if he finishes, like, seventh, I want him to do something spectacular. Like, that makes people... Like, driver of the day level. So...
You know what I want?
Go on.
I want him to overtake Verstappen on the first corner and the Verstappen, like, literally comes off and crashes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm not saying savage, but that would be
fun. I hope he's okay. But, yeah.
If a day, if I die, sometimes it's, oh my God.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
It's Ferrari's race strategy. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Well,
speaking of Ferrari, you know Langford's mate? I think his name's Matt.
No, but yes.
Yeah, dude who's always with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, literally, he was in freaking Maranello on the weekend. His mate got invited to the Ferrari factory to pick up a car.
Dummy bastard.
Oh, no, mate, literally, like, they had a private track or ragging Ferraris around the track. You know, and then once I'm like, fucking hell, this is how the other half live, this is. I mean, I think Jamie's rich, but that's proper money, that is.
That is some proper money.
You know, the sunglasses going back on my fucking... Oh, he's killing me.
Well, on the topic of Italy, Italians, and all that malarkey, I can bring Kimi Antonelli into it, as well as Isaac Ajar. On a quick talking point about rookies that have been doing well this season. So, yeah. Obviously, Antonelli and Ajar continue to impress with mature performances, adding valuable points and shaking up the expected order. Their progress is watched closely by teams and fans alike, which, I mean, I've got to kind of touch base on that a bit, because Antonelli, he's done really well so far this season, and he's probably definitely my most liked rookie so far. But
we're looking at a future world champion with Antonelli,
100%,
potentially with Hajar as well.
Well, I was going to say Hajar, I think so far this season, incredible. And what I don't want to happen to Hajar is for him to be bumped into that second seat at Red Bull too soon, because if he's smart, he should be talking to other teams right now.
Yeah,
we're about to jump into the whole silly season thing. It's around about that time of year we're getting there. But I think he'd be very foolish not to walk away from Red Bull and VCarb and that horrific second seat.
But with that amazing segue into silly season, Valtteri Bottas is linked with Cadillac's entry for 2026. Though Alpine may also be a contender for his signature, Esteban Ocon's future is uncertain, with Alpine's reportedly, let me restart again, sorry, I'm dyslexic as fuck with glasses on.
Go on with Ocon.
Can we not use this font again, please? Esteban Ocon's future is uncertain, with Alpine reportedly ready to make changes. Oliver Bearman is frustrated at Haas, and as Ferrari push for a full-time seat him next season. I mean, unfortunately, we know who that's going to be. He's going to go.
Go on, keep going.
Nick Hulkenberg's value is rising, being the key point scorer for Kick Saber. I apologize for reading that. Like, this font, I'm not pretty good, but this font is just destroying my dyslexic cast. Interesting one I took out of that is obviously Ferrari pushing for Ollie Bearman.
So I can't remember what website I pulled that from, but
that may need some serious citation, because that's a serious statement.
I don't know if the context of it is Bearman is frustrated at Haas.
I think it's full-time seat at Ferrari.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what does that mean? Like, realistically, who is going to go? I mean, I imagine you thought...
Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, I love Lewis, but I know it sounds bad. Charles is Ferrari's long-term investment.
Yeah.
That he's been through Ferrari's young drivers program.
He's been there since day one, really, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's like Mercedes with Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah.
Like, he's a long-term investment. And Charles is a performing... Love Lewis, but Charles is performing better at the minute.
Yeah.
So it's... I mean, but it's one of those ones where, on the flip side, sorry to interject you there, but...
No, it's all right.
Is Bearman, at this moment in time, a better driver than Lewis Hamilton? And I don't think he is.
No.
Has he got the potential? Yeah. But I don't think... Maybe for a full-time seat at another team.
Yeah.
I mean, but could be a full-time seat at Cadillac, because Cadillac are using Ferrari engines, aren't they?
Yes, I believe so. It's a tough one. I think if Bearman stays at Haas for another couple of seasons, I think he would end up being a lot... He'd be more in the Russell, Leclerc, Hamilton kind of contention. If, say, for example, the season in the future is similar to what it is now.
Can't disagree with that at all.
And to be honest, if Bottas was to go to Cadillac, say next season, for example... Purely hypothetically, yeah. If it was Bottas and Bearman at Cadillac, I feel like Bottas would be a good kind of mentor for him. So,
yeah, the thing is, again, Bottas is a world champion, right?
No.
Oh, no, he's just won races, on it.
He's won a lot of races with, Ferrari, with Mercedes.
But he's never been a world champion. I couldn't remember then. No, Bottas had. That's why I questioned it.
The only champion that Mercedes had, as well as Hamilton, was Rosberg.
Yes, that's right. But with Bottas, he's still got a wealth of knowledge, and he's still a very good driver. He's just had a few shit teams lately. I mean, obviously he was at Kick Saber, and he said that was the worst career move. And you know what? That for me, that shows the level of driver Hulkenberg is.
Yeah,
that he's making that Saber perform like that.
Yeah, and to be honest as well, Bortoleto, he's doing really well as well. Granted, you know, he's not got any points yet.
He's not in the points, but he's still doing well. He's a rookie.
It's his first season in Formula One. So, yeah.
I am really excited for Audi next year, because I think it's going to be... I mean, obviously, Le Mans is on this weekend at this moment in time. Well, Le Mans on right now.
Yeah.
Like, our friend James is there, living his best life.
Jamie bugger.
James has more money than sense. No, actually, he doesn't. He's just...
No, he does.
He does actually have more money than sense. He's got a high-paid job at JLR.
He's doing well for himself, isn't he? Big up, James.
You know, I've realised. James and Jamie, they're like our rich friends technically now.
Both named James. If I ever have a son, I'm going to name him James.
Yeah, it's the same, so it doesn't say Max Big P. But yeah, moving swiftly on, Dominic.
Yes. So, we can jump straight into Canada. And I've just kind of put together a few little things about the track and the characteristics of it. It's not something that we've done before. And I feel like, in brutal honesty, I've done it for a bit of filler. But at the same time, I want to know what you guys think. If you want to know more about these sort of things, because it's not too nerdy, but we'll jump in. So...
Anyway, moving and continuing on with the flow of the podcast, circuit demands, Dominic.
Yes, so the Canadian Grand Prix. Canada, talk to me.
Sell me. Beautiful.
The Canadian Grand Prix requires a low downforce setup to maximise speed on the long straights, but also strong braking and traction throughout the tight chicanes and hairpins. Balancing these factors is key to a strong pace. I've kind of put this together through what I've kind of read about on the internet, and for lack of a better way to say it, my first-hand experience on playing Formula One games. So And I do like Canada. It's a good track. So it's a good track to play on. Let's say.
I think it's low downforce. That's
you need the downforce for the grip for the how fast a lot of the corners are.
Well, basically they're just going to be running the cars as low as they physically can get away with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they do that a lot anyway, but you know, Canada, they're really going to be.
They sit lower than my Honda.
Yeah.
Or at least lower than my Honda's exhaust.
You know, they sit lower than my Mazda, and that fucking sits low.
So, yeah.
First, the Mazda has a new home. Situations have changed. So the Mazda now has a full-on race garage.
Ka-cha.
But the entrance to it is going to be interesting. I'm going to have to get the Mazda on bags. Yeah. Now I need air cups.
Air cups. Air cups all the way forward.
Air cups on top of my suspension. Just... But yeah, no, it is. I think it's going to be a race where everyone's going to be running low, running big wings, big wangs.
Big wangs.
Big front spurs. Lots of just pushing the fucking car down.
So obviously downforce and extra downforce, more so than usual anyway, will no doubt play into the time management and strategies that teams are going to be using. So we touched on Ferrari.
The thing what I will also say before we get into time management as well, like running your car lower with more downforce, obviously it's going to like fuel management, and obviously your top speed is going to be slower because you're going to...
Well, as with everything in Formula One, you change one ever so slight thing and it's going to have an impact on everything else. So, there's all those factors to jump into. The reason specifically tyres that I bring up is tyre wear can be severe, especially with the aggressive braking zones and the abrasive curbs there. Teams will debate between aggressive two-stop strategies to keep the pace versus a more conservative one-stopper aiming to, pardon me, save tyres. So, yeah, it's... I think, personally, from previous seasons as well, I know a lot's changed in the cars, but I feel like most people are going to be doing a two-stop.
Yeah, and also it depends what the tyre allocation is with compounds as well.
Yeah, I think... We don't get too nerdy into most things in regards to Formula One.
We really, actually, like, outside of this, we live for this level of like nerdiness.
Yeah, but I think because we're still diving our heads back into Formula One, and every week we're learning more and more about it.
To be honest, I know more about like drift.
Yeah.
We know about drift setups and stuff like that. We, and like time attack and cup cars, we know so much shit. That's our world. But like,
I think
like Formula One, yeah, it is.
I think as far as the compounds go, whatever they are, I think we're going to be jumping back onto, I think it's called the C6, the softest compound that we've ran all season so far. Yeah. We didn't have it for the last race. I think it was for the races before.
I think it was C3, C4, C5 on it for the...
Yeah, but I think we're going to go softer for this one, maybe. Could be wrong, but that's just a little bit of a prediction.
I'd love to know, like, and I'm going to research this. If I remember, so I'm going to research this, but like, obviously, if you know anything about like competition tyres, like, yeah, fair enough, in Formula One, they have the C ratings. But I'd love to know what the compound number is. Like, mm-hmm. Say, for example, like, obviously, I run semi-slicks on my track car. So that's like tyre compound 100 or 50.
Yeah.
And that's obviously the softness rating. So I'd love to know how that stacks up. So we can give, like, for the people who are actually petroheads, I'd love to do an episode where we compare, like, what the tyre is to what the, like, equivalent road legal tyre is.
Yeah,
and that's a really nerdy, shitty thing to do.
I feel like that's definitely a bonus episode thing that we were talking about.
That is a bonus. That is a pit wall thing.
Yeah,
that's a video episode. You know, I'll just reach out and just get one of each tyre.
Yeah. Well,
go and rip burnouts on them.
I think we may have like mentioned it previously in the past, and we definitely touched on it earlier on in the episode. But if there's anything that you guys listening feel like you want to kind of educate us on. And tell us, or
drop us a message.
Yeah.
Or honestly, like, we ain't dicks like that. Like, I love learning and I love knowing when I'm wrong.
Yeah, if you want to tell us that we're wrong and that, you know, it's actually this, that, and
but you've got to have the evidence to back it up. Yeah. That's the rule. You can't just say, yeah, you're wrong, but not supply why we're wrong.
Yeah. Like some of the bad comments that we've had on like things in the past has usually been like something along the lines of, learn to talk before you host a podcast. And it's like,
Mush, I'm from Dudley.
Really? But, you know, I get it. We make mistakes. But
we're also, we have a quite big international audience now. We're trying our best.
We are trying our best.
He's from Birmingham. I'm from the Black Country, which is a real place. Check it out on Wikipedia. Because I'm getting called racist again.
Oh, yeah. That's the number one thing when, like, you tell someone, oh, I'm from the Black Country. They're like, You can't say that.
Anyway, moving straight back into what we asked, because there is something I want to speak about.
Go on.
It isn't Formula One in a bit. But it's about the Nürburgring. But we'll get to that in a second. It's quite nerdy, but we're on a nerdy bit of the podcast.
Okay. Well, before we jump into
So the weather, there's a 70% chance of rain. I didn't realise it was fucking Silverstone.
Yeah, so I pulled this. This was from today. So yeah. It's a current... It's current fairly... But if you guys are listening to this on, like, the Friday...
No, tomorrow. We're recording this on the Thursday, so it's nice and fresh.
Then, yeah, I think 70% is accurate. That's what's expected on race day. I'm not sure for practice and qualifying, but yeah. So
it could be a wet and inters race.
Yeah, it could be. Well, again, we don't know. But mixed conditions could turn the race on its head, in all fairness, making any kind of strategy.
I'll be honest, mate, I love a wet race. So I think it really, anybody who does overtakes and does challenges in the wet, like you've got some serious balls behind you. But anyway, safety cars and chaos as well. Obviously, we have the infamous Wall of Champions.
Yes. So the Wall of Champions has ended many races early with crashes like Legends Villeneuve, Schumacher and Vettel here. The last five Canadian Grand Prix all featured safety cars. So expect some interruptions and potential surprises. As I mentioned earlier with Ferrari.
I bet you a beard is a safety car.
A beer.
This is.
But if there's not, I'll get. Hang on.
So I'll buy you a beer if there's no. So you buy me a beer if there's a safety car. I'll buy you a beer if there's not. Okay, if there's a safety car because of the Wall of Champions.
All right. No. How about I'm not falling for one, two.
2 points. Yeah.
No. Two safety cars.
Okay, two safety cars because of the Wall of Champions.
And it can be a VSC. Fair. Okay. But if there's only one.
It's
then, no. If there's only one, you've got to buy me a beer. But if there's two or more, I will buy you one. I know we've already shook, but you,
No. It's no safety cars or two safety cars. Can't be one. It's
no. Okay.
So no safety cars. I buy you a beer. There's two safety cars. You buy me a beer. If there's only one safety car, it's null.
Okay.
Null and void.
And three is null also.
Yeah, three is null and void. It's got to be two safety cars.
All right.
Somebody fuck up. Hey, George.
No, not George Max.
No, George. Spin Max off.
Yes.
Anyway, no.
Dark horses.
I didn't realise Katy Perry was in this.
Hang on. So, this weekend at the Canadian Grand Prix, you are going to want to watch for experienced drivers like Nico Hülkenberg, as well as young guns like Isaac Hadjar to capitalise on chaos. A podium for midfield teams in this particular race cannot be ruled out. So
it really can't, mate. Like, it's
as mentioned with our safety car bet and the kind of prediction, the assumption of rain, the forecast, that's the word I was looking for. But It's one of those races where Canada's fast, and with the fact that it might be wet as well, it's nothing like Monaco, where you kind of whatever qualifying is very close to what the race is going to be. Whereas this is one of those races where, as mentioned when we were talking about Ferrari as well, if you end up qualifying and ending up dead last or something, and then start the race, you could end up on the podium and potentially win. It is one of those races.
It really is.
It's a fantastic track. It really is. It's one of my favourites to watch. Out of all of the purpose built racetracks of the season, anyway. So,
but before we get onto the bit more, I do want to talk about something that's going on the Nürburgring at the minute.
Yes.
So obviously, Misha.
Yeah.
If you know who Misha is, he's basically the king of the Nürburgring.
Is this anything to do with the hands rule?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hands device, head and neck support. Basically, it's a device that anybody who does any
Formula One.
Yeah, in Formula One, any form of device. Basically, when you crash, it basically stops your head from jolting forward. I've got one for my helmet now, worth every penny.
Literally, it just clips onto your helmet.
Yeah,
kind of goes onto your shoulders, and the event of an impact,
and basically your harnesses go over it and it holds you down, and yeah, that's why again
jolting forward.
I can't really talk because I do drive with harnesses without hands device. Officially, it's... Anyway, so the Nürburgring's basically trying to ban Misha and people are pushing to ban him because he's saying we should be wearing these on the ring.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of one of them ones where, like, you look at the Nürburgring and it's fucking chaos.
Well, you can get on the Nürburgring with normal seatbelts.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. But I feel like... Well,
obviously, there's, like, hybrid hands.
Yeah, well, I feel like even... So you can get them where they sit over your shoulders and you, just something that clips into your seat and clips into your helmet to stop. So you've still got the side-to-side
movement. Yeah, and that's what they're arguing is because the strap didn't move.
It stops that head jolt. It stops you from getting whiplash.
It stops you from breaking your neck, man. Yeah. Like, so, and it's kind of one of those ones where, like, it makes nothing but valid reasons. And obviously, this is the guy who runs Vulcan Alpha as well, who's, like, a very, very credible and serious motorsport engineering company, like, for making, like, custom DRS parts for cars.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's kind of one of those ones where, like, I'm all for legislation in motorsport. And, like, they're trying to say that, like, the Nürburgring isn't a racetrack, it's a public toll road, which officially it is.
It is, but...
But it's a fucking racetrack.
It's also a racetrack that's caused a lot of...
Death.
Death.
Literal death.
And a lot of...
I can't think of what
the word is, but, like, it's caused a lot of problems for drivers.
Iconically, it's Niki Lauda.
Yeah.
Niki Lauda's incident was at the ring.
Yep.
Like, I'm not saying obviously a hands device would have prevented him. That was Marshall's, but it's things like that. Like, say for example, like if you're
the Nürburgring is a dangerous track.
Say for example, like me, I'm going in the Maserati. That is a built race car now. It's road legal. No, it's a road going track car.
Yeah,
like it is built a like harnesses caged on the way, but ready to go. Like. Now, I could turn up with that, with harnesses and everything. But if I've got a hands device, I basically can get fined by the ring for it.
Yeah.
And black flagged and taken off. Oh, so they'll black flag you as well, which I think is mad.
Yeah, that's actually chaos. So,
but look, imagine, but it's a public, it's a toll road. You're getting a black flag on a toll road.
That's the most German thing I think I've ever heard in my life. I think I'm just going to... We just need to talk on something here, just to cut this into something short so that we can throw this in and be like, Misha, we're behind you, throw it on the short form. Misha, talking about these hands devices being banned on the Nürburgring is absolutely stupid, and us here at Box 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 wholeheartedly agree with you, Misha. And
100%.
And we back your support. But we back your movement to get these things essentially
I'll be honest, mate,
compulsory.
I'll be honest, I don't want to go in the ring with that hands.
Yeah,
absolutely fucking not, mate. Like, some of the frigging crashes you see, like it comes to a point that there's YouTube corner on the ring where people film because people been it there.
Yeah,
like that's a crazy thing. But yeah, honestly, like because I've just saved cars in chaos and big crashes. I was just thinking about that. I was like, it's something I actually really believe in, like, and it's like I'm all for having a laugh and everything, and but it's one of them ones, mate. Like me and you had a fucking big crash. I've had a semi big crash. Like, fair enough, we were both in cars with airbags. Mine didn't go off. Yours did, right? Your airbags basically acted as your hands device that day.
Yeah, if I hadn't have had,
like, if you're
airbags,
in a car, if you're
airbags
in,
and seatbelt saved my life.
Like if you're in a car that doesn't have, which most race cars don't. Have airbags, and you've got restraints, you've got harnesses, your body's not going anywhere, but your neck's snapping.
Yeah, it's not going
to
be fun.
Nah. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. So
I was going to say, I don't want to say we got lost on a tangent, because but I wouldn't that, say lost.
That's important to me.
There you go.
But anyway, continuing back on to Formula One.
So
can we have one race of the ring in Formula One 1 year? I know it's crazy, but I think that'd be fucking lit. I know they probably have to resurface half the ring because they've run loads of the cars.
Yeah, it's a bit. The reason they stopped putting the ring on the calendar is because it's just dangerous. It's not it's not to current FIA standards for Formula One. Yeah. It's not wide enough in places.
Just imagine it. Just that, like, 3 mile straight.
I don't know. It could come back. It's too long as well. That's the other thing. It's
25 miles. It'd be like 12 laps.
Yeah, it's too much.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Going back to Formula One after I've had my little.
It's all right. We have our moments now and again, and they're good.
Well, the fact that just took up like 15 minutes. Anyway, McLaren's momentum, and we spoke about this earlier, but like, it's like, I know it says here that nothing is guaranteed for McLaren. But I don't know. I think it's just going to be McLaren 1-2 again.
Well, we both predicted a McLaren 1-2. So it says here, can McLaren convert their dominance into a third consecutive race win? Both Piastri and Norris look confident, but Canada's tricky nature, which we've obviously touched on, means nothing is guaranteed, as Sam mentioned. So, yeah, I personally think they do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-2 again.
Yeah, so...
But yeah. Also, obviously, I'm just going to power through these like quick fire things because time is ticking on now because we need to get your Honda.
We need to go get the Honda.
Verstappen is a ticking clock. No fucking shit next.
Oh, I think we've touched enough. Yeah, he needs a clean weekend.
Yeah, he's had two episodes of us throwing shade at him.
We've obviously touched on the weather. This is going to be essentially a race of strategy and driver skill in the wet. So... We've already talked about safety cars as well. Yeah. So.
Rookies. Could it be? It could be any of the rookies in the points, potentially Antonelli. I think he's got a good chance. So is Bajar.
This is another thing. So the who? DNFs. If DNFs. It's a wet. Who,
will there be a DNS? Will there be a do not start?
I don't think there will be. There will 100% be a DNF.
You know what? Could it be in qualifying? Verstappen's gearbox gives up.
Yeah, but he wouldn't do a DNS. He'd just have a penalty and start in further back in the grid. Red Bull wouldn't give up the opportunity to get any points.
Yeah,
for that.
Or his gearbox dies on the grid.
Yeah,
on the formation lap, and that would be a DNS. Weirder things have happened.
Yeah. Weirder things happen.
Could be a wet lap and the gearbox slips.
It could well be.
Tires slip. Overrides gearbox goes bang.
Could be. Well, we're wondering, will the Wall of Champions claim another victim? And yeah, I mean, could Ferrari finally take an official race win in the 2025 season?
Could they? Well, we'll find out this weekend.
We will find out this weekend.
But let's talk just to confirm our race predictions. Did you get your dad's?
I did actually. Well, oh. I messaged him and I assume he's messaged me back. Yes. Right. So we'll touch on our previous ones. So last week we made the predictions for Canada and Sam, do you want to go through yours?
Yeah, I said Piastri, Norris and Verstappen.
So I went very similar with Piastri, Norris and Leclerc.
You see, I'm looking at this now and retrospectively I think you've landed it for this one, you know.
Well, after what we've spoken about and the whole Ferrari Leclerc Hamilton thing, I'm confident with my prediction after what we've said.
There's no
evidence behind how Ferrari are going to do and what our prediction in regards to that would be, whether it be Hamilton or Leclerc finishing on the podium.
What were your dad's?
So my old man's predictions were
George Russell's definitely in there.
Yeah, Russell first, Piastri second, Hulkenberg third.
Question. Is your I know your dad's like smoking and shit, but has he started doing crack or something? Russell first, Piastri second, Hulkenberg in P3. What the fuck, Paul? Are you smoking much?
I don't know what he was thinking with the Hulkenberg, but do you know what? Again, we've said it once today, and I'll say it again. Weird things have happened.
But it's race day on Sunday. It's been a nice... It'll be a short and sweet episode. It has, and I can't even make it to Sabrina Carpenter because she's got a new album out apparently now.
Oh yeah, Man's best friend.
I'm out of work is questionable.
So the
bit of dumb that is
the Canadian Grand Prix. The Canadian Grand Prix this weekend. The episode's going out Friday the 13th. Will be on the 15th of June.
See what F1 arcade
UK time is. Race starts 7 PM. It will also be in the UK, Father's Day. So
bring your dads.
Bring your dad. It should be good. I've normally got a little bit more written about that, but
But don't worry, where can we find you?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook on wherever you want to find me.
You can find me at Sentio Silvano on literally everything. Where can you find the pod?
Pod is at Boxboxbox Pod on again, pretty much everything.
Sensational Dom. I'll see you on Sunday.
It's been emotional.
Boosh. You know
what? Love you, bye.
Bye, bitch.